Will you turn with me, please, to the first chapter of Proverbs? What I have before me, dear brethren, is not exactly along the lines that our brother has brought before us, which is so precious, and which we have had in our meetings. That is, heavenly things, and the person of Christ in his exalted place. But what I have before me for a few moments are some practical things that belong to the earthly pathway. Now, I'm sure it will not detract from what we've had, because what we have in Proverbs is the subject of wisdom, and when we get to the 8th chapter, which we will not reach this afternoon, we'll find that wisdom is a person. It's the person of Jesus. But we find in Proverbs that which has to do heavenly wisdom for an earthly path. In Luke's gospel that we had before us in the last 2 days, we have rather more of the line of heavenly wisdom for a heavenly path. They are both needed. And my dear brethren, was there ever a day that you know of when the father and the mother and the young people needed wisdom for an earthly path that there is today? The question is, where are we turning for wisdom for an earthly path? The only place I know where the results will be right is from the Word of God. You know, in the book of Proverbs, there's a net laid. You'll see it in the first chapter. Satan has laid that net, and he's going to catch everyone without exception that have not taken up the path of wisdom. It tells us there that in vain the net is laid for every bird. Who's that? Ah, those that have taken up the path of wisdom, they'll not be caught in that net. It's laid in vain. Now, the book of Proverbs teaches us how to go through this world without being deceived by the world. Satan has laid that net to deceive us. I'm not speaking just to young people. I'm speaking to fathers and mothers. We have it all in this first chapter. The very first thing that we have here, we'll read it, then we'll mention a few things as we go along. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. Consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They shall lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, the first part of this chapter, we're told what the Proverbs are for. The first thing it says is to know. To know. Notice that very carefully. What do you know? Wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, the natural man could speak of knowing a great many things, but we're told in the book of Corinthians that all of this knowledge shall perish. There is knowledge that will not perish. There are different words used for knowledge in the original. Now, he's speaking not of a kind of knowledge that's going to perish. We know that there are so many people in this room, all that knowledge will perish. We know there are chairs here, all that will perish. But he's speaking about moral issues. What does it mean to know, dear friends? Well, to know is an experience. It's an experience of one who has been corrected and disciplined. That's what it is. That's to know spiritually. Now, that knowledge does not come except in the fear of the Lord. The way of correction is the way of life. That's what it means to know in the book of Proverbs. Is the world full of evil? Yes. The world has all kinds of allurements. Did God know about this? Indeed, he did. That's why he gave us all the varied proverbs that follow the 9th chapter. Detailed to meet everything that you will meet in this life. There's not a problem that'll come up in your life but what God has already given you an answer in his word. To know. That's what the book of Proverbs is about, to start with. To know. To know wisdom, instruction, understanding. I suppose the word instruction is always often used as knowledge. And so you take wisdom. And how do you get wisdom? Well, you get it on your knees before God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This book isn't telling us about being seated in heavenly places. That's the line of things our brother's just given us. This is telling us about things, perhaps of a lower order of things, but having to do with this everyday life that we're passing through. Wisdom. Do you get on your knees? Oh, my dear friends, don't miss the path. It's on your knees. You'll never get wisdom anywhere else. You'll have to have wisdom, and you'll have to have knowledge to have understanding. And what is understanding? It's the wellspring of life. You'll get that in Proverbs as well. You know what a wellspring is. It's something that's bubbling up every day. You need it every day. That's understanding. It's the result of taking the knowledge that you receive from this precious book, getting into the presence of God and saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know what this means. Open to me the scriptures. I remember when I was a boy, they used to sing a song. I used to be in the Baptist church. And I still remember that song. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. Lovely thought. And I believe that's what these reading meetings are. The breaking up for our hearts, the bread of life. Oh, how we need it. And so, wisdom then, coupled with the knowledge as you read that precious word of God, what do? Tear a leaf off the calendar every morning? Say, that's it? No, dear friends, I don't have any quarrel with a calendar. I think they're beautiful, wonderful. But you'll never grow just reading a calendar. You've got the whole of the Word of God. And if you want to walk the path of righteousness down here, you have all of these proverbs, one after another. And so, first of all, to know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. It's the experience of one who is corrected and disciplined. And so when that correction and discipline comes, bow to it, because it's the way of life. It may not appear something that you would like at the start, but God knows why he allowed it in your life, because the end is going to be bright. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Now, it's to receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice, judgment, and equity. What does that mean? It means that you and I, as the result of this, should be in a position to know what our path is, to receive it, to make it our own. That's the second thing. The fourth verse, we sometimes use this word simple as one who does not have any intelligence at all. But that isn't the thought. The thought is one who has not begun yet in the things of God. He has nothing in regard to soul or mind in the things of God. He's simple. And he's going to stay that way unless he takes up this path that we have of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, what about the proverb, to understand a proverb and a dark saying? Why is this brought in? Well, you'll find as you read through Scripture that a great deal of Scripture is in that form where it takes a great deal of exercise of soul in the presence of God to discover what it means. Why did God write it in this form? Because once you lay hold of it, you'll never forget it. It's divine. Besides, it gives you depth of understanding. It gives vividness as to the purpose and the subject that's in view, which you'd never get by passing over the thing. He makes you stop short to find out what it really means. And where do you discover that? In his presence. Oh, how many times I have gone over a scripture, and finally, after years, suddenly like that, the Spirit of God opened it to me, and I should have known it long before, but I didn't. The depth, the beauty of that scripture, the Spirit of God will open it to you. Proverbs. The poet put it this way. Barbed words that fasten where they fall and stay deep in the hearts of men and never pass away. That's a proverb. Your conscience and heart, because you'll never get any truth that doesn't come through the conscience to the heart. You may get it in your mind, but it'll never stay. Because of what you and I are by nature and practice. Now what? The fear of the Lord. My dear friends, and I'm speaking to some here, I believe that perhaps they're not even saved. You're going to take one of two paths. You're either going to take that path of the fear of the Lord, or you're going into lust and idolatry. One of the two. Oh, it's solemn. Why is it solemn? Because we see it everywhere today. We even see it among those who make the profession of Christianity. And we even see it entering into the assembly. Why? Because we didn't respond to these truths of the Word of God. Because the fathers and the mothers were not careful about their children. You remember that scripture in the sixth chapter of Revelation In the days of the tribulation, when they're going to cry for the rocks, and the mountains to fall upon them from the presence of the Lord. Why? Who are these people? Are they heathen? They're Christendom. Children of the saints. Whose parents neglected them because they didn't teach them the book of Proverbs. That's why. Went along as Christians year after year until suddenly through lust or idolatry they went off. Oh, you say, there's no idolatry today, isn't there? Yes, there is. What is the idolatry? Your talents will take you away from Christ. Your talents will, if you don't put Christ first. That's an idol. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later on it says it's the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, the parents. The parents have something to do. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, what does the father speak of? Authority. It must be so in the home. Father carries that authority under God, and he's responsible to God in that authority. How about the mother? Well, here we have the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the child is with the mother more than with the father. But if the father takes his true place, the child will always remember that place that the father has, whether he's there or not. But the child is with the mother more, and the mother has a tremendous, what shall I say, responsibility? Well, it is that, but I hope it isn't taken as that merely. Privilege. Privilege. Do you want that child with you in the glory that our brother just been speaking of? Do you want him there? Is that where you want that child? Correction is the way of life. But not that kind of instruction with the rod. Now, I know the rod is necessary at times. But that's not the regular thing, beloved. It's the mother that starts at the very beginning, not when the child's 5 years old. That little one in the manger. That's when you start. That's when you take that little twig and bend it in the right direction so it'll grow straight. Or you say, how does that little one understand? They understand. Science has proved that a child is impressed before birth. Think of that. What about after birth? There's an impression on that child. I'll give you an instance. Take the child away from its mother for a few days, and what happens? There's that child has been impressed by the affection from his mother, and it immediately will have a sense of a loss, not being with its mother. Oh, how delicate each step that the mother has with that little one to bring him up for God. Now another thing. In the book of Proverbs, we have character formed. How? God is forming character in that child through the mother and father for all eternity. Because what the Spirit of God forms in you down here, it may be through the parent, will be what you will be up there. Think that over. What a marvelous place the father and the mother have. What a wonderful place they have. Bring that child up for God. They shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and the chains about thy neck. When? When they're finally formed. When you see the tree finally growing up straight. Oh, how lovely. What a satisfaction for the father and the mother when this takes place. Oh, yes, there'll be times when there'll be questionable things that come in that'll exercise the parent a great deal. Every parent has this. But just keep on committing it to the Lord and doing your part. Be sure that you have a trust from God with that child. The redemption of their soul is precious. And it ceases forever. Oh, what a solemn thing this is. To have a soul in your hand to bring up for God. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Have you and I, dear ones, learnt to say no? It's a wonderful thing to be able to say no. Or have we said, well, I'll consider this, I'll think about it, I'll work this thing out. When God says no, you say no. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And that'll clear you of all responsibility. Learn to say no. When you know it's no, don't reason it. In the next two chapters, we find the warning of those who reason these things out. No. When God says no, you say no. That's the path of faith. Now we have in this next few verses man's way of acquiring wealth. Have you taken up this course? Well, you say, well, that's nothing for you to talk about because there's nobody here that's going after wealth, is there not? It's in the heart of everyone. It's in the heart of everyone. And God's warning. He'd never warn unless it was necessary. It's the thought of grasping something that God hasn't given you. Here, it's using those means that the natural heart is prone to follow, to acquire wealth, gain. And what's the tendency? To form with someone else some kind of an organization in order to speed up the matter of making money. Well, you say, well, why are you speaking to us about this? Because it's something that's in the whole society and it's creeping in even among the saints of God. methods that belong to the world but not to the Christian? Is the object of the Christian to become wealthy down here? Is it the object of the Christian to acquire things here as objects? Never. We're a heavenly people. And once we start in that course, we lose that precious, precious thing that we've had before us in these meetings, communion and nearness to Christ. Whenever any objects of any kind come before us, in the eyes in between us and Christ, it spoils everything. And you know, it says that money answers to all things, and oh, how man goes after money in one way or another. It's a solemn thing. We have it here, but the point here is they're going after it the wrong way. Come, let's have one purse. There's only one place that we have a connection, and that's with the body of Christ. Nothing else. That's the only joining. We're already joined. I suppose the 26th verse has more the thought that God is going to let them know that their plans won't work. God isn't exactly happy with the death of the sinner. He tells us he's not. But he shows that their plans won't work. And in that sense, he laughs at their calamity. Their plans won't work. He does not rejoice or delight in the death of the sinner. The 29th verse, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And what is this? Well, it's a kind of fear of reverence. Knowing that the way that he's laid out for us is right. And a fear lest we depart from that path that he's laid out for us. The fear of the Lord. Now, that's the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And oh, how sad for one who takes the wrong course. Because you have to choose for God or idolatry. That's what Abram had to do, as we had brought before us. It was all the idols that he was accustomed to, and the God of glory called him out of it, and he responded. Oh, what a destiny for Abraham. But what a destiny for him if he had not taken that course. Perhaps you're at the crossroads this afternoon, some of you here. Perhaps there are those here who are unsaved, and perhaps there's some here, young people even, who are choosing right now about a path where they want to be sort of on the Lord's side, and they want to be just a little bit in the world. It won't do. It won't do. Your path will end in ruin. Unless Christ is everything to you. It's Christ or nothing. It's either God on this side, or it's idols and lusts and the fulfillment of that lust on the other side. And you're going to say, like many have said, I never knew I'd do such a thing as that. But you did it. You did it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because only God can keep you, that's why. You cannot keep yourself. It's absolutely impossible for a Christian to walk through this world under his own power. It's absolutely impossible. What is the power then? Prayer. That's where you get wisdom. That's where you apply the knowledge that you get in reading the Word of God. And as a result, you have understanding, which is the well spring of life. And dear ones, do you want that wellspring to be bubbling up every day and you go on your path, as this last verse says? But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. But may God bless these few words to my own soul, to any here who may have been drawn just a little bit toward those things of this present evil world. Be like the bird that sees that net and flies over it and escapes that net.